ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and Merritt Assembly of God is the reason why the Refresh radio program is here. We have a heart to share the Word of God throughout Brevard County. We've been doing that since the last week of October in 2013, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 of a morning over on WWBC 1510 AM. You can hear the rebroadcast as well. And we hope that that what you hear on here will make a difference in your life and in your pursuit. And right now we are talking about how we have got to be seeking God. And, you know, we've talked about some of the reasons why people don't seek God. And right now we're looking at things that compel people to seek, and we're dealing with some negative motivators, you know, like on yesterday's program we were talking about how when destruction comes, all of a sudden people start seeking God. Well, I want you to know that the best reason to seek God is because you love Him. It really is the best reason. You love Him, you need Him, you want to spend forever with Him. Too many times we are looking for the consequence and the benefit of seeking Him, but sometimes our motives are wrong. You know, there were a lot of end time movies that were produced, and as a result of people being terrified about what life looks like with God just, you know, withdrawing His hand and the devil having the ability to just unleash terror on people. People were terrified. They were giving their heart to Jesus because they were scared of what the other alternative looked like. And I've always found that that's a very short-lived concept. The best reason is because God is holy, He's righteous, He's just. If there's anything that we can see in America right now, is that our wealth will not save us, our economy will not save us, our youth will not save us, our politics is not going to save us. The only one who can really bring salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are going to look at some of these negative motivators today. Today we're going to be in the book of Hosea chapter 5. The book of Hosea chapter 5. I'm going to read verse number 15. We're going to go through several passages here in chapter 5 to see how they get to this place in verse number 15. Hosea chapter 5 verse number 15 says, this is God speaking, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face in their affliction. They will earnestly seek me. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. That, he said, then they're going to seek my face. This concept of affliction, of experiencing problems, we talked a little bit about it yesterday, is really something that is going to compel people to say, we have no viable alternative but seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only alternative. It's the only one. So, how did they get to this place? Because verse number 15, God says, look, I'm just going to step back until they acknowledge their offense. What was some of the offense that was going on that led them to this affliction? Well, in verse number 3, it says, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. Ephraim and Israel are both names that were given to the 10 northern tribes. Ephraim was one of the 10 tribes, but it was the largest tribe. And so Ephraim and Israel, in this context, are both synonymous terms. And it says, you commit harlotry, you are defiled. Verse number 4, they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. That's an interesting way of putting it, that that they have a spirit of harlotry. That means that they are willing to go and make themselves vulnerable and bind themselves together to whoever is willing to pay the highest price. That's really what that is. And it's a spiritual problem. It is not a financial problem. It is a spiritual problem. It's not just a sexual problem. You know, a lot of times whenever we think of harlotry or prostitution, we think that it's a sexual problem. It's not. It's a spiritual problem. It is a person who doesn't understand the value that they were created with God to have. It is someone who doesn't understand the provision that God can bring into their life. And like I say, it doesn't just manifest in one area. People committed adultery and harlotry, not just on a sexual level, but on a spiritual level. They were going and running after other gods. They were pursuing. They just said, we just want to be like all the other nations around us. We just want to be like, you know, Dr. Seuss had a story about the snitches, I believe it was. There were star-bellied snitches, and there were snitches without stars on their belly. And a guy made a machine, and he said, you know what, I can put a star on your belly, because the star-bellied snitches felt better than the just plain old ordinary ones. And so whenever the snitches that didn't have stars got stars, then the people who were naturally star-bellied went and had their stars removed, and they just kept chasing and chasing. Whenever you fit in with the crowd, the people who influence the crowd are going to move on to something else, because they're not looking for you to be just like them. Their only notoriety comes in their distinction. God didn't choose Israel because Israel was like all of the other nations. They were among the smallest of the nations. And God said, I chose you for myself. And so one of their offenses was that they were not faithful to God. Hosea was a living example. He was married to an unfaithful woman, and she was a picture. Their marriage was a picture of the relationship between God and Israel. And it says, you do not know the Lord. It's not just an intellectual knowledge. It is an intimate, personal awareness with God. And it talks about, with their flocks, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord. I don't want to be a person that does that. I want to deal faithfully with the Lord. And you and I, we cannot just assume that every time that we deal unfaithfully or treacherously or haphazardly with our relationship with God, anytime we're willing to set God aside to follow some other worldly lifestyle, we can't just assume that that's no big deal. And please don't ever assume that God is just going to overlook that situation. That's not the case at all. He says, because of that, Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked by human precept. Okay? Let me say that again. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. We are the body of Christ. We are called to live differently, to walk differently, to speak differently, to act differently. And different has a price tag. You may be rejected by men, but you won't be rejected by God. And so I want to encourage you. There are the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, that list concludes and says this: against such there is no law. Whenever we live the life that God wants us to live, there's not anybody that can say anything derogatory about it with any sort of credibility. Listen, being a person who speaks the truth in love is always going to be the right thing to do. Being gentle, being good, being patient, all of those things are notable characteristics. We cannot reduce ourselves or lower ourselves to try and accomplish spiritual goals by earthly means. And what I mean by that is there are people who lie, cheat, and steal to get what they want. They are backstabbers and things like that. They will undermine the credibility of other people just so that they can get what they want. And you and I can't do that. We are called to a higher calling. And so God says, because of all of those things, because of their unfaithfulness to God, because they did not know, in verse number 4, it says they do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. Okay? You and I, we have the personal responsibility for our own actions. We're responsible for them. We have to mature enough to say, I'm responsible. Ed Silvoso told a story when he came to Brevard County back, I believe, in the late 90s. And he talked about a situation where a man had come into his office and he was telling a story. And Ed Silvoso said, truly, it was one of the saddest stories. And the man who's telling the story was crying. And Ed Silvoso was crying. And he said it was just a tragic story. And after the man was through, Ed Silvoso asked him this question. He said, brother, how long ago did this happen? And the man wiped away the tears from his eyes, and he said, 42 years ago. And all of a sudden, that time frame changes the story. The story there is not how am I going to overcome this that has just happened to me. Now the story is how do we set this person free from the prison that they have built for themselves over the past 4 decades. Listen, if you've never had something tragic happen to you in your life, You're living a very rare life, okay? Most people that I know have gone through a great deal of adversity to get to the place that they were. The difference is you've got to accept the personal responsibility and move forward, make the necessary changes, repent of what you need to repent of, get the discipling, the teaching that you need so that you can say, you know what, I'm going to set my course toward turning to God. And it says, until we are willing to acknowledge our offense, quit blaming other people and say, look, this is my problem. Until we're willing to say that, until we're ready to say, God, forgive me for the times that I've been unfaithful. Forgive me for the times when I, in my pride, I haven't repented. Forgive me for the times that you have wanted me to come and know you, you wanted to reveal yourself, and we spurned your timetable and your plans. Forgive us for the times when we have lowered ourselves to doing what other nations do instead of living the life that you've always wanted us to live. Until we repent of that, then we're not going to be seeking the Lord. But whenever we fail to do all of those things, we're going to find ourselves in a place where we're living an afflicted life instead of a blessed life. And God says, in that place of affliction, you don't have to stay there. If you will start earnestly seeking me, things are going to change. Things are going to change. Okay? Anytime we lower the standard, then we're gonna have problems. We're going to have problems. We need to earnestly seek the Lord. So if you find yourself in a place of affliction, don't squander that. Allow that challenge that you're experiencing to drive you closer into a relationship with God. Allow it to be a motivator that causes you to seek the Lord. I remember hearing a testimony that someone said they were going through a great personal challenge in their life. They found themselves in a different reality than what they really wanted to be in. They found themselves with a whole bunch of time on their hands. And so you know what they started doing? They started reading their Bible and praying. They started seeking the face of God. They started growing in their faith like they had never grown before, and life changed, and then the cycle repeated itself. And I want to challenge you, if you've found yourself in that vacillating lifestyle of earnestly seeking God and not seeking God and earnestly seeking God and going from blessed to afflicted to blessed to afflicted, I want to ask you this question. How many times do you want to go around that mountain? I remember the time that God asked me, how many times do you want to go around this mountain? And I said, you know what? I think all I want to go around is one time. And, it caused me to turn my actions to a completely different, relational dynamic with God. Okay. Can I tell you what happened? It literally shifted me from trying to tell God how to run my life to saying, God, I want you to tell me how to run my life. Changed everything. Changed everything. Let me take you over to another passage, over to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah, so it's back a few books from Hosea, back towards the left. Jeremiah chapter 50. And it says this in verse number 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, with continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. This one is similar. In this particular passage, this is a word of the Lord that was spoken against the Babylonians by Jeremiah. He was Babylon had been the nation that carried the tribe of Judah into captivity. Babylon had defeated the Assyrians, who had defeated the children of Israel. But God prophesies that Babylon is going to be defeated. And I will tell you that you can believe the prophetic utterances that God has to say. You know, our theme this year is Thus Says the Lord. You can believe the prophetic declaration of your stronghold's defeat, and the stronghold might not show any manifestations of cracking or withering under the weight of it, but it soon will. Babylon looked invincible, and they were literally defeated in a very quick manner. And so the powers of the captors were going to be broken, and the children of Israel were going to be weeping, but they were going to be weeping as they came back to the Lord. There are two different types of weeping. There is crying for sorrow, and there is crying for joy and relief, and you're just so thankful. And if you've ever lived under an oppressive hand, you will know what weeping for relief is. And it says that they would come with continual weeping. They shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion. Now remember, Zion was indicative of the promised land, of the mountain of God. It was where they were supposed to go. And they said, you know what? We need somebody who can give us the direction to get there. Okay, if you don't know how to navigate the days or navigate the situation, don't be afraid to ask for directions. I mean, how many women just said amen because there was a guy who said, if you don't know how to get there, stop and ask somebody for directions. You know, the old joke is that guys just don't like to ask directions. I know I'm one that has put things together, and then when I got it together, realized I didn't have it together correctly and had to disassemble it so I could reassemble it. Sometimes it's because I didn't read directions. Sometimes it's because I missed something in the directions. Sometimes it was because the directions were just plain lousy. But I will tell you, if you find yourself in a situation where the power of your stronghold is broken, don't just celebrate that. Allow that to be a motivating force in your life to say, you know what? I'm going to seek the one who sets the captives free. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to seek direction on how to get to the place that God wants me to be. And when we get there, I want to read to you verse number 5. And in all of my years of study, this passage had never jumped out to me like it did when I was studying for this teaching series. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces toward it, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. A perpetual covenant. One of the things that I tell people is that too many times There are people who are looking for a one-night stand with God instead of walking in a covenant with God. And, you know, then there are other people who will walk in covenant for a while, but when it gets difficult, then they don't walk with God. Or when they get distracted, they don't walk with God in covenant. But God is looking for a people who will walk in perpetual covenant with him. That means it endures all 7 days of the week. It endures in all four seasons of the year. It endures through all of the seasons of your life, because you are walking in covenant. It is a very difficult challenge. You and I, we've got to recognize and say, God, this is the type of covenant that you want, but it's also the type of covenant that I want. I want to walk every breath of my life in covenant with you, because I would rather live under your sovereignty than under the sovereignty of an oppressive man. It's just in reality the way that it is. Live in a perpetual covenant. Don't even consider. I mean, Jesus came to the disciples because there were thousands of people who had been following him. And all of a sudden, he gave a teaching, and it was a hard teaching. They didn't understand it, and thousands walked away. And at the end of the day, Jesus was left with his disciples. And he turned to them, and he said, "Are you going to go away as well?" And they said, "Lord, where else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Okay, I will tell you this. The children of Israel tried to create a covenant with death, and they thought that they were going to be okay with that. And it turned out they weren't. God was saying, make a perpetual covenant with me. I am the resurrection. I am the life. The king of Babylon wasn't the king of kings and the Lord of lords. I'm the king of kings. I'm the Lord of lords. And he will break the power of your oppressor. He will open the stronghold and set you free to live the life he wants you to lead. God bless you. You have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right
here on
Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."